B2, number 20B.
Now, I guess Jesus was healing the multitudes. He was not even conscious of the individual patient. He healed the multitude with that wonderful consciousness that truth is one truth. And that is the patient Christianity, namely the one Lord, only there where we begin to realize really that the only patient is that everything in being is kept in perfection. It's kept in perfection. And so that we don't need to see the individual perfection. Also what we see here as one love, therefore as universal love, that this treatment here from one life to one truth is blessing the whole universe. And not only the list of patients we have, but that one love is the patient, is the true patient, so to say, or is showing that it is healing the whole world. That's why Mrs. Eddy also could say that no treatment is lost. No treatment is lost. Somewhere in the universe, this is a blessing. There where it is accepted and not rejected, where it is let in, our treatment of one life and one truth has its blessing. And so we cannot, at that, on this level, we do not define who should get the blessing. We just know that this consciousness is the blessing of the universe. It's a universal blessing, the universal patient. And whoever in the universe is receptive for it and is not sorry about himself, but is open for something new, just gets it. Because it's being. And so we have the one solution, principle love, which says, yes, that principle has a plan. It is going to heal just that which is in the plane of, which principle has in the plane of love. It's not going to heal that which I want to be healed, which I want to see healed. It's not going to heal that what the patient wants to be healed. This here takes tremendous courage. Now that humility, a tremendous humility, which is courage really, which is the courage of a real man like Jesus had, when he could see not my will be done, but thine will be done. And for that it needs courage. Where we lay down all our planning, the counterfeit of love, and let principle work out that plan which is right for everything. And that is usually something very different from what we wish would happen. And so we have here with principle love a healing that is a million times bigger than a metaphysical healing where we say this disease has to be healed so and so quickly and so and so and must be so and so. That's metaphysics, it's below it's behind here somewhere. It's no good at all, metaphysical healing. This is science. Yes. Can you see the bigness we must gather within us? Jesus had that bigness. He could go to that pool of Bethesda. Yes. You said it right. I can't see. And there were, I don't know how many dozens of invalids there, and he walked through them like I would walk now through you and just pick out one and say, this one I'm going to heal. And I step further. Didn't he? It takes courage. Just say, I don't care about the others. And to have that inward tenderness to say, they have another plan. They don't see what their plan is. They don't not even recognize their plan. And if I would heal them, I would do something wrong. Because I would take them out of their plane. He had that spiritual perception. See, he healed here on this at this point. Where he could say, and he went in many other places and he did not many healings. He just said, no, I'm not going to take them out of their plane. He let the principle be love. He let the divine principles, not his personal sense of healing, be love. He let the divine principle be love and say the divine principle just heals that which the divine principle wants to be healed. That's the maximum of what can be done in the divine principle. Can you see that? So we have here, so to say, the one practitioner, one life, then one treatment, that's the collective treatment, then one love, a universal healing, and then one principle love as that right healing or establishing healing which is right according to principle and not according to personal sense and the personal desires. You see what such a horizontal here of divine science, those categories, what the new sense of really dignified sense of practice gives. Let's go to absolute Christian science. Actually, here again we have the four. Here again we have the practitioner, the treatment, the patient, and the healing, the fourth. But in absolute Christian science, our consciousness is a bit different, because here we see that something definite has to be worked out. So in absolute Christian science, I begin to realize, oh, that practitioner, which on the level of divine science was one life, that practitioner is always at work. Is always at work. Day, noon, and night. He's always life, you see, who is creative and who brings forth true facts which are fulfilled. And so I get a very powerful sense of that practitioner, which is God, where I feel that one practitioner constantly says, I create something new, I bring something new into being, I call new worlds into being, and that which I call into being is of the nature of truth, it is of the true form, and it's already fulfilled, that he knows. And so I go to the treatment and can see with truth, life and love, that that is the treatment, that that consciousness which I have entertained in life, truth and love, is constantly translating itself as the ideal to the point of life, to the individual case, and therefore is adapted to the individual case. I just feel a tremendous rest within me that I say, I don't know the mystery of the Christ, how that mystery works, how it is possible that my consciousness about being just finds its way out of the millions and billions of situations, the right point, and corrects the right point. I don't know how it is, but truth does know it, because truth knows all truths, life, and is adapted to the situation. And so I get that feeling of truth knowing every specific idea. That's why you have in here, then, in truth, life and love, that faculty of divine mind reading. That's how Jesus read mind, through the divine mind, because it could discern the exact individual idea ruling a situation. And so naturally, with love, with the patient here, life and love, showing now how life is taking care of the patient, and giving him constantly what he needs, that nothing is missing, nothing is lacking. We have that abundance of life flowing, 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 flowing. And we have the love who takes care that this flowing and flowing is not spilled all over the place, but that it is taken together, that it is gathered together again and is preserved. And then in truth and love we have the healing, where we begin to see, because there is no life here in science, no life, but only truth and love, we see nothing has to be healed. It is only an acknowledgement of the fact there are truths which are complete. And I begin to realize, never, never, never can I heal anything. I can only accept that things are at the state of truth and love, at the state of completion, a form of completion. Yes. So, in Absolute Christian Science, you see, the whole treatment is focused to a specific idea. And what it does then naturally is, on the level of Christian Science, that this treatment is going to resolve error. Yes, what can I take more? Yes, perhaps another question. Another question we can take just in considering these four levels in regard to treatment is the question, what should be demonstrated? What is really the aim of demonstration? What should be demonstrated? What is being demonstrated? If we take, for instance, the highest level of science, what does the divine principle demonstrate? It only demonstrates itself. Because we have seen, in this level, principle says, I am my own infinite mind. I am my own infinite spirit. Therefore, what it can demonstrate is only itself. Can you see what now? See, I sometimes takes courage. If somebody comes along, there's some problem and some urgent problem, and you just feel, oh, that person wants me to demonstrate that person's own concept of error. And in divine science I say, I'm not going to demonstrate that, because that's a human way of getting at things. In divine, on the plane of science, I just feel the whole thing what I want to demonstrate is principle itself. If principle is its own mind, then principle has as its aim to demonstrate itself. And you feel perhaps at the first moment that you are not taking care of the patient, that you let him, that you, what do you call it, you let him drop, neglect him, or anything like that. See, but actually, if we go up here, we don't do that. And on the contrary, we begin to see the whole situation as something very different from what the human situation looks like. And we can say, can principle know any error? Any error here? Can principle know any error? Can't know any error. So what can principle demonstrate anything over error? No. Can only demonstrate itself. And by golly, you know, if you have a problem for yourself, and you have the courage, and it needs courage, it needs some devotion, some humility to say, oh yes, I know, the human body, the human mind, my personal pride, and so on, would like now this and this to be solved, and I am not taking any notice of it. The highest I can demonstrate is that I demonstrate God. Principle demonstrating itself. And so up here, on the highest level, I really demonstrate God. On the level of divine science, you know what she says in the seventh day of creation, that we demonstrate the divine origin. Here we begin not to demonstrate any power over sickness, but we begin to demonstrate our origin. So we begin to demonstrate our origin as the one Father, the one truth or Son, the one love or the one Mother. Can you see how, can you call it, how pure, how transparent, treatment in divine sciences. How free from human shackles, a demonstration in divine sciences. How within us there must be a heart and soul and mind, spirit, soul. Within us a heart and soul and spirit and mind which is willing to say, I love my origin so much that I'm jolly well to go to demonstrate my spiritual origin and nothing else. If I don't demonstrate my spiritual origin, from the origin flows only all good. So I'm not going to demonstrate the effect, but the cause. But the cause. And that's what I do in divine science. I begin to demonstrate my divine source. When I come to absolute Christian science, what do I demonstrate? Something very different again. What absolute Christian science says is, you know, life, truth and love, which says, let there be life, let there be truth, let there be love. God said, let there be light, let there be a firmament, let the dry land appear, let the stars, the moon and so on appear, let there be government, let there be life, let there be man, let there be fulfillment. What I go to demonstrate here is to let it happen, to let God happen. See, first I demonstrate, really here in science, that principle is its own principle. Then I demonstrate my divine origin. If I let demonstrate my divine origin, I have to demonstrate that I let that divine origin happen. Let it happen, let it happen, let it happen, let it happen, let it happen. You know so well from our own experience that we resist it. That we put some sand in the mechanism. Because we want it to happen our way. That is no more let it be. It is putting some, what you say when you put something into the wheels or...
Monkey wrench.
Or a monkey wrench.
Sabotage.
Yeah. Well, that's a new term. Must have done that one. You see, our whole human build-up is that we have a human mind, and that human mind is going jolly well to decide what is good and bad. And that human mind is jolly well going to decide what is our aim and what we want to achieve. The counterfeit of life, truth and love. It says, I am a creator, I jolly well know what should be happen. The counterfeit of truth which says, I know what is true and what is wrong. And jolly well the counterfeit of love which says, I set the aim, what I want to achieve. And to let that go is demonstration of life, truth and love. If we let life, truth and love happen and don't stand in the way, we are always healed. We are always healed. Because then life, truth and love just flows through us. There is no trick in healing. In healing there is just science, and science knows no tricks. No secret tricks. So many patients and so on, Christian scientists always think the practitioners have secret tricks and they don't tell us what they are so that they don't lose their practice. They have the secret trick. And those who haven't gone through class teaching, they think, oh, in that class teaching, they have learned that. That's why they are not allowed to say what they have heard. Because they are not going to give away their secrets. They are like Freemasons, they are not allowed to give away their secret. But it's not true. It's an open secret. It's an open thing. The question is, accept. Are we going to accept it? If we have accepted our divine origin, are we going to let it happen? Are we going to let it happen? Are we not standing in the way? And so if we let it happen, we really demonstrate in absolute Christian science that we let life, truth and love happen. That's the demonstration. I remember about 2 years ago or so when my sister was teaching this in a class, It says, well, let life truth and love happen. Accept that nothing is going on but life, truth and love. And one student said, but this is too easy. Is that all? And so easy. But he said, yes, it's easy. Just try it out from morning to night and see how easy it is. See? It is easy. If there would be no human mind with a material concept and there is a sense testimony, it would be very easy. So what we are going to demonstrate in Christian Science is really then our superiority over having a mind of our own. Our superiority of valuing everything according to a material standard, looking at things and the persons as material things and persons, and our superiority over sense testimony and trying to see that we don't have to do with the testimony of the physical sense but with spiritual sense. Then we demonstrate here superiority over error. Can you see the purpose of demonstration, the aim of demonstration on each level different? And actually you can see that if we only remain always on the lowest level of Christian Science, just to always demonstrate, trying to demonstrate hard and hard and hard the superiority of mind, spirit, soul over its counterfeit, that this is not a very easy practice. Because we try to overcome it. If we start from the top, we let the one life as our origin. Let it happen as life, truth and love. And then life, truth and love take care that it resolves mortal mind into the divine mind. We let life, truth and love happen that it resolves a material concept into a spiritual concept. We let life, truth and love happen that we lose our sense testimony and finally go back to our soul sense and see things in the value and the measurement of soul sense. And so next week we are going to see how these levels here link together in one big law. Terrific law. And I want to show you this law and exercise with you with this law next week with you, because if you get that, you will feel that this is power. This tremendous power. All right. Also, say, the question which so often comes up, which says, do we have to handle the specific error in a case? You know, Mrs. Eddy, at certain places would say that we must find out the error which rules the situation, the specific error which rules the situation. And especially John Stolle's teaching, which was mainly on the level of Christian Science in the way of practice, was stressing that very much. For instance, in his book on Christian Science practice, in that thick book, which was an interpretation of the chapter of the textbook Christian Science practice, and that naturally is on the level of Christian Science. And in that chapter, Mrs. Eddy very seldom gives a higher sense. Here and there she does, but mostly that whole chapter is on the level of Christian Science. So Mr. Dolle in that book would mainly pound on the necessity of finding out the specific error finding out the specific truth ruling the specific error. But this is only one aspect of it. And naturally, John Dolle was showing us the other levels and the other methods too, only that they didn't come out as clearly and as distinctly as perhaps he wanted to do it or as people wanted to see it. Because the question, is it necessary to see the specific truth? It isn't necessary, but it can be necessary. That's the answer. Here, on the level of science itself, where principle does not know evil, you can see at once that it is not necessary to know specific truths. If principle is its own infinite mind, then it does not know anything else. If principle is its own infinite truth, then it does not know an error anyway. So, if our consciousness could be here, on the level of science itself, we would say, no, we don't need to know specific error. If you are on the level of divine science, Mr. Dooley would show very clearly, that if our consciousness is here, that it just can stay in that oneness and it will get healed without that you know what healed it, what specific truth healed it. That the healing just comes. It is here where Jesus healed without, in the multitudes, without knowing the specific error. Then, in absolute Christian science, the textbook shows the divine mind reading, namely, the method of how we can find out the specific truth. Because through this Christ translation, really we get the mind healing, which shows that this principle has an idea, and therefore that principle can reveal through the Christ a specific idea, and does reveal the specific idea if it's necessary. If our consciousness has not been pure and transparent enough here on the top levels, that it has already healed it. Then only then, when our consciousness is not transparent enough, we go back further down and say, all right, that apparently I have to dwell more specifically and more persistently on life, truth and love, and then the trite idea through mind, divine mind reading can stand out in one's consciousness, and then naturally when we have that right specific idea, then on the level of Christian science we know how to handle the specific, with the specific truth, the specific error. So this answers again that question which comes up and up and up so often. Do we have to know what is the governing error? It says, up to here, through science and divine science, it says no. But it says, if your consciousness here is not transparent enough, then you jolly well have to go further, and then the answer on absolute Christian science and Christian science is yes. I think that's the reason why Mrs. Eddy had written a whole book called No and Yes. Because so many questions must be answered by no, and the same question in other circumstances by yes. Can you see? And this is one of them. All right. I think this was a quickie. Over this dimensional thinking. You could see the dimensional is a very much a vertical thinking, where we have seen that one level goes through a lower level, so to say, and by going through a lower level brings out another phenomena, as we have seen this morning, that whenever we transpose a third dimensional object on a two-dimensional plane, that the phenomena changes, and so you have here a constant change of the phenomena, of the symbolization in every plane, and yet naturally it all one. And so after having analyzed them into levels, we have to integrate them naturally in our consciousness as one, and what we'll do next week is to see first again this analysis and then combine them as one law that goes right vertical through everything. So that we have in one tone, so to say, taking in one view all the levels as one consciousness. Yes. Capito? Fine. Now, we have done the atomistic thinking. Then came from the atoms to the linear thinking, from the linear to the functional or blending thinking, then to the operational thinking, the four and the seven, then to the structural thinking or structural consciousness, I would rather say, as the matrices, from the structural consciousness, the matrices, came today to the dimensional consciousness with those levels. And now these levels lead us to a further consciousness, what I would call the divine cybernetic consciousness.